Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the weekly cool down. We're back. We're back. We're back. We're back. We're back. It is January 25th, Friday, January 25th. Welcome to the show. Happy New Year and happy birthday to me. If you missed my birthday, I feel sorry for you. It was fun. I don't know. Was it? I guess. I don't actually remember what I did. But yeah, so welcome to the show. We're going to have some fun today. We're going to have some fun with the news. There's a good bit of it. Mostly, I don't want to say mostly good news, but it's interesting stuff. It's interesting stuff. But of course, before we get into the news, we have some guests today, and they are guests from the last episode. Their names are Marcy and Corey. Say hello.
Hey.
Hiya.
It's Marcy and Corey are back for two episodes in a row. This is unprecedented.
Unprecedented. Wow.
So I want to throw out there, our weekly cooldowns turn into a monthly cooldown.
I think.
I don't actually know. That's not correct. Like, I want to say that we've cooled down twice in a month, but I don't know quite the term for it. Bi-monthly cooldown.
Bi-monthly generally implies every other month, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Twice a month.
So you would have been here December and then February, but no, you're Corey and Marcy are the first ever monthly cool downers. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Intra bi-monthly.
Yeah.
Secondly. Bi-intra-monthly. I don't know.
So to get started, of course, I usually ask, what have you guys been playing this week?
Oh boy. I'm going through a little bit of Danganronpa 2 still. Yes, of course. Friend of the show, my roommate Paul Henderson, and I have been trying to get through Chrono Trigger because I have played it a couple times and always got stuck at the first segment in 1300 AD, and always made a huge impression on me. Loved that particular part of the game. Never got past it.
Yeah. No, I know that feel. I've always gotten as far as, I can't remember the time zone, but Zeal? I've always gotten as far as Zeal.
Yeah, we're not even there yet, but we're working on it.
I've always gotten that far, and then I'm like, what do I do now?
I got stuck on in Antiquity, the mountain, that section.
Mm-hmm. I can't even remember the damn game anymore.
That's fair.
But it's been a lot of fun. I don't know. I was just going to say that Chrono Trigger has always made a huge impression on me, and it's something that I always knew I would love to finish and love to get farther in. To the point where I'm basing a lot of the game project that I'm working on right now off of like Chrono Trigger's visual style and everything.
Wow.
It's been very cool. And
Marcy's working on a game.
I was just explaining to you guys before we started recording that I have just learned about version control from a very, very generous and helpful software developer friend.
We will certainly, maybe, probably get into that.
It might be very boring to talk about. Anyway,
Corey, talk big concepts. Big concepts. Okay.
Big huge concepticons. Sorry, that was wrong. I don't know what I did. Corey, go ahead.
Sure. So I've had an eclectic mix of about... So I started off just poking around at Bioshock 2 Remastered. Which is interesting, sort of in retrospect, because like playing that now and having been exposed to more like modern takes on that immersive sim thing, there are a lot of like voice logs like really close together in that game.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sure.
I picked up one and then went up maybe like a stair, and I found immediately on the roof of that same building another voice log. And I was like, I am inundated with background exposition that I'll never see.
Real talk, those voice logs in Bioshock 2 are why I never got very far in the game, because I'm the kind of person who cares so much about story and information in a game that I will drop everything to listen very carefully to the voice logs and such. So sometimes I'll postpone progressing so I can listen to them, but there were so many that it just kind of, I lost my momentum.
You know, yeah. Or if you're a Resident Evil player, you stop and you read every single file you find.
Got to get that lore. And,
yeah, you got to read all the text in those games.
Somehow, I managed to get through the entire Mass Effect trilogy at a decent pace while also reading every single codex entry in the whole series.
Oof.
Which just I guess it's just like the fact that I was very interested in it.
Yeah, it was good. Besides that, I have actually three other ones that I played. I did another run through Deadbolt. So that one, just for context, is Hopu Games. They're the people who developed Risk of Rain. They're currently working on Risk of Rain 2. Deadbolt was sort of their in-between release, sort of a Hotline Miami-esque. You're the Grim Reaper. You have to put the undead back in the grave and stop them from doing this weird, mysterious. It's like a modern, something or other fantasy thing, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Modern magic.
Modern magic.
It's very easy to get through, and maybe if you've played it a few times, which I have, because every so often I just go back for the music more than anything. The gameplay is really sharp, but it's the music that sticks with me. It's a good maybe about 4 or 5 hour play, I think, and there's even an achievement for finishing it in 1 hour. So
I think I remember Deadbolt now that you're explaining it.
it has to be one of my favorites.
That's what the Unearthed Arcana from D&D calls doing magic in modern times.
There's a cantrip to turn stuff on and off in modern magic.
Yeah.
Right.
The other two, the first one was a very good interactive fiction, very Jules Verne inspired sort of short jaunt. It's 80 Days.
Okay. I think I've heard of that.
Yeah. It's you are Passepartout. I can't remember how his name's actually pronounced. And you're sort of the valet to the Gentleman Fogg, who's taken the wager to go around the world in 80 days. And it's sort of like a steampunk-ish. You go around the world. You have to get from city to city, discover your routes. You can go either as fast as possible or as slow, as long as you make it within 80 days. You can even make it past 80 days. Sometimes it's fun to just get distracted and sort of see what Passepartout can get up to. But you also have to manage things like your funds. You have to have enough money to get from place to place. You have to obviously manage the time if you care about making the wager in 80 days. And you have to manage your relationship with your gentleman, as it were, so you don't end up on bad terms or get left behind. I don't know if you can get left behind. I've only just...
Since Oregon Trail.
A little bit, yeah, a little bit. I've only completed like one run of it, but it was such like engrossing writing that I sort of did all of it at once. And it was maybe... it was a good 2 hours. It wasn't that long. I thoroughly enjoyed every bit of it, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
The last one was just another dip into Killing Floor 2.
Oh boy.
Oh.
I used to want very badly to purchase and play Killing Floor back when it was fairly new, and eventually I ended up getting a copy of it, but by that point I like never actually put any time into it. And then Killing Floor 2 came out, and I've still never played a Killing Floor game, even though I guess do own it. The original one.
Killing Floor is kind of like one of those games where you sit around with a bunch of friends reminiscing about old games for like 20 hours, and then after the 21st hour you're like, hey, you guys want to go play that game? And you guys go play it and you guys are having a great time, and suddenly it's a week later.
Yep. It has to be one of my favorite. Just like, you sit down, you load in for like an hour or two, and then you come out the other end. It's very pure first person shooter action, like team based first person shooter survival action.
Lots of gore and stuff too.
Yeah, and I only started doing it this time around because I recently got a computer that actually has a modern video card that can handle something like Killing Floor 2, but I put plenty of hours into the original. So now that I got to play the second one and not have to downscale resolution to like 720p and like do all the setting everything to low things, potato settings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's been a very enjoyable experience to just sit down and turn my brain off for a while.
Those are some of the best kinds of games.
Absolutely.
Like Mario Kart. I've been playing that recently, and for some reason, Mario Kart's one of those games where I can just sit back and, like, my hands just know what to do, but my brain is, like, shut down, completely shut down. But I'm still driving, I'm still drifting, I'm still getting the boosts.
Those are some of my favorite games.
You know, hitting the right item.
Those are my favorite podcast games.
Mario Kart?
Well, just any...
Or Kart?
Any kind of game where I can just turn off my brain and just, like...
Yeah.
Play and not have to worry about, like, you know, needing to keep my ears open or, you know, basically any kind of game where I can be absolutely sure that I'm not gonna get into something that I'm gonna want to, like, turn off a podcast and really pay attention to, like, Breath of the Wild.
If you're listening to this podcast while you're playing a video game, tweet at us and let us know which game you're playing.
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to say warm up, but I was like, wait, that's not quite right.
No, cool down.
Cool down with us.
Breath of the Wild, I think, was the last really good podcast game that I played. Like, I got through so much of the Adventure Zone while playing Breath of the Wild, because, like, I knew that so much of that, like, big story stuff or the things that I'd have to really focus on were there if I wanted them. But then I just, you know, there was this huge open world to explore and I didn't really have to worry about, like, any characters talking to me, you know, having to split my attention, my, like, word comprehension attention.
Right. You didn't really have to listen to anything, especially because you're already conditioned by, like, mid-game in that game to fear everything because there's audio cues anyway, you know. Yep. I'm looking at you, Guardians.
Right.
Everything, including heights.
Those audio cues are ones that, like, you can have the sound on because there's not, like, blaring music, you know, or anything. You can just hear the little plinky piano and listen to the wind noise and the birds, and then all of a sudden you hear this bum 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 bum, and you're like, oh shit.
That doesn't have to
like get in the way of your podcast.
Right. No, you're right.
If y'all are running away from a guardian as you're listening to this.
Point being, I've been looking for another game like that for ages and I just haven't found it. Because all these other RPGs are like, I can't go any further because then these characters are going to start talking to me or I'm going to have to watch a cutscene or something and I'm going to have to tune out and pay attention to that.
Very, very true. Well, maybe you will find your game in the near future because there's a lot of games coming out this year. But
Kingdom Hearts isn't going to be that one.
We will talk about that in just a moment. But before we get to the news and all that good stuff, it's time to get to know you both a little better with a game, of course.
Oh, no.
And a game that I have devised, as I've devised many for you and my other guests. Today we're going to play a game called, what did I call it again? Painful Quotes. Painful Quotes. Oh, no. That's what it's called. Painful Quotes. Are you both familiar with the game Max Payne?
Yes.
No.
Oh, okay. Well, do you have a general idea about Max Payne, Marcy?
Something to do with dudes.
Oh, boy.
It's like a guy.
I think I saw some cover art once.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Oh, Marcy.
I'm so sorry.
A very quick explanation if you are like Marcy and you don't know what Max Payne is for some reason. Max Payne is the story of a police officer who detective? Was he a detective?
I think he's like
just an officer. Whatever. He's a guy with a gun, and he comes home, and his wife and child are murdered. And then he goes on like a noir style rampage across New York City. It's great. And then there's Max Payne 2, which is like kind of the same, except he's in love with a criminal, and you get to play as the criminal. That's cool. And yeah, that's about all I got. But it's it's kind of like what you'd imagine from any noir style like movie where the hardened cop is monologuing throughout the entire thing, and everything has a weird metaphor about death and angels and blah 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 blah. So on that note, I have a list of quotes here. Some of them are Max Payne quotes, some of them are quotes from other video games such as Bayonetta and LA Noire and literally anything you can think of. I went on the internet for a very long time. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to read a quote, and you are going to tell me if it is a Max Payne quote or if it is a quote from another game. Bonus points if you can pinpoint if it is from Max Payne 1 or 2 or 3 or what game the quote came from. And even more bonus points if you can pick out the character. So are you ready to play?
Bonus points I will never get, but ready to play I am.
Alrighty, then, for your first quote, Corey, let's see, I gotta pick one out, hold on, I'll try to make it kind of easy. Okay, science isn't about why, it's about why not.
Okay.
Hi, Portal 2, Cave Johnson?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, that was pretty easy. Dang, you're really taking it. You're a little on me here, I think.
Okay. I'll
that's one I would have got.
I'll up the intensity for Corey, but let's let's do one for Marcy now.
Watch me instantly eat my words next.
Please be gentle.
Let's see. How about okay. When you love something, never lose it. Understand, little one? You must keep it safe, close to your heart.
That does sound familiar, and I'm pretty sure it's not from Max Payne because it sounds familiar.
What is it? You're correct in that it's not Max Payne, so you get that point.
You know, I think I can't quite bring it in.
It was Bayonetta.
Nice.
Okay.
Corey, your next quote is... hang on, I gotta pick one. Unfortunately, killing is just one of those things that gets easier the more you do it.
Definitely a Max Payne one. I think that would probably be one.
You are incorrect, actually.
Oh, wow.
That was Solid Snake from Metal Gear Solid.
It's such a generic line, actually. Oh boy. So you really did kind of hammer me on that one.
I turned up the difficulty. Marcy, let's see.
I'm ready.
Let's go. A sword wields no strength unless the hand that holds it has courage.
Zelda.
Ooh, perfect. Which Zelda?
Link to the Past?
Ooh, so close, but so far. It was Twilight Princess.
That's my favorite Legend of Zelda.
Really? I should have known that, because that is my favorite.
We Zelda. Share that point in common.
Nice.
Let's see. Aha! Here's a good one. Nobody is perfect. That is, of course, until you fall in love with them.
All right, I'm banking on it again. Max Payne, let's do it.
Yeah. Ooh, no. Actually,
I think I'm finding out that none of these quotes are from Max Payne.
It was Cloud. If you can believe it, that was from Final Fantasy VII.
I haven't played that game in so long. My Final Fantasy is Final Fantasy IX, actually.
My Final Fantasy is Final Fantasy XV. It's the only one I've played. Well, that's a little bit of
13. Nice. Yeah, my brother played through the entirety of 7, but I actually, and someone's going to probably get at me, like, don't at me on this one. Specifically, don't. I've never played Final Fantasy 7.
Please.
Well, I haven't really either.
Sick.
So,
all right.
You're amongst family.
Love it.
Marcy, your next quote is... I need a good one. I don't know about angels, but it's fear that gives men wings.
I mean, is that also Bayonetta?
Is that your final answer?
Bayonetta or Kid Icarus?
Well, you're wrong. It was actually Max Payne.
Whoa! Look at that.
Let's see, Corey.
Well, so far, Corey's in the lead, I think.
No. Not for lack of trying, you aren't. I'm definitely getting a lot of zingers.
Ah, here we go. He was trying to buy more sand for his hourglass. I wasn't selling any.
That is such a witty one-liner. You know what I got? You know what I'm going for when I say witty one-liner. So,
well, what is it? You got to tell us. You got to say the words.
Third time the charm. Is it actually a Max Payne quote? Did I get my first one?
Correct. It is a Max Payne quote. All right, you're actually tied. Baller. So, for all the marbles, all right. You both get a chance at this one.
Oh boy, rubbing my hands together.
No matter how dark the night, the morning always comes. Actually, wait, you guys won't know that. Huh.
All right.
I like that one, though. That's good.
Yeah, what is that? Game of Thrones?
Oh, if only. Maybe I should put some Game of Thrones quotes in here.
I would die.
That would have been... I would win.
Marcy would win.
Okay. Here's a good one. If our lives are already written, it would take a courageous man to change the script.
Max Payne.
Corey.
Not Max Payne.
Corey's correct. It is not Max Payne. Corey wins.
Yay.
That was Alan Wake. A very close second.
Alan Wake.
A very close second to Max
Still
Payne.
Still have to play that. And that's
Alan Wake's cool. But that's how you play painful quotes. Alrighty, now that we've played our game and we know that none of you know quotes, let us switch gears to the news. So to begin with, we're going to start up by being hype, real hype, real hype. It is hype. January. It is the start of the first quarter for video games, which means that we get to... be really excited for things that are coming out soon. Like for me, if you follow me on Twitter or you know me at all, I am excited for this very day for Resident Evil 2. The remake is coming out and I have it preloaded onto Steam and I'm going to be streaming at least most of Leon's campaign. No, most of Claire's campaign because we're doing the canon route first. And
oh boy.
I'm pumped. I'm so ready for this game. It's going to be so scary.
Question.
Yes, hello.
Do I have to know the story of Resident Evil 1 to understand the story of Resident Evil 2?
Not really. All you really need to know is Claire's looking for her brother, which is the main character of... Well, one of the main characters of Resident Evil 1, Chris.
Okay, cool.
And that's like it. And like Umbrella's bad, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But other than that, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a great game. And also, if you come to my stream, I'll tell you everything. I'm like the lore book for Resident Evil personified. I just walk around and I'm like, hey, did you know that Claire Redfield has a brother named Chris and she's also a college student and she arrives in Raccoon City looking for her brother just a couple days before Resident Evil 3, and then the old lady at the corner looks at me and says, "Who the fuck are you?"
A very nuanced games player, thank you.
Yeah, I'm just looking at her like, well, fine, I didn't want to talk to you anyway. No, but I'm really excited for Resident Evil 2. I know my two friends here are probably excited for Kingdom Hearts 3.
Yes, very, actually.
I'm excited for it in that I'm excited to finally have an excuse to play Kingdom Hearts.
Wow.
Oh, have you never played it?
Okay. Ooh. So here's the thing.
Oh, boy.
The farthest I've ever gotten is as far as I got a couple days ago, where I beat the first fight against Jafar, and I haven't fought the genie Jafar yet. But that's my, like, the extent of my Kingdom Hearts knowledge is up to that point in that game.
It's okay. I've never played it.
Really?
I've never played any Kingdom Hearts. I barely know what it's about, and it's too late for me. Just go on.
Am I the holdout here?
I mean, that's played so much. That's kind of, that's also how I feel, but I'm trying in spite of it.
Oh, man. But,
I mean, good enough. I see, the thing is, which one was it? I think one of the PSP ones came out, and I was like, all right, this is my chance. I'll go back and play Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2 and also do this one. And then for some reason, I just never got it. And then they came out with like 12 more, and I was like, never mind.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, when I first started paying any attention to Kingdom Hearts, it was like around the time that 2 was getting ready to come out. And at that point, it still felt like I might have a chance, but I didn't have any PlayStation consoles.
Mm.
My first PlayStation console outside of my brother's PSP that I didn't really care about buying games for was the PS2 that our good friend Sam Neelan gave me in 2013. And at that point, he actually gave me a copy of Kingdom Hearts 2. Corey gave me his cop or lent me his copy of Kingdom Hearts 1, and I played through a little bit of it.
Yeah,
that's the end of the story. I eventually got a PS4, bought Kingdom Hearts 1.5 plus 2.5, and had a really hard time getting through Kingdom Hearts 1.
Yeah, it's kind of a grind.
Again.
Yeah,
it's so tough. Just that one particular game.
I'll probably play it when I'm 60, and some like young buck will come up and say, "Hey, Mister, what are you playing?" I'm gonna be like, "Get away, you whippersnapper!"
Retro video games.
Yeah, at that point, Kingdom Hearts, anything will be a retro video game.
Extremely retro. Look at that. What are you doing? What is that thing you're holding? Is that a controller?
Don't make me think about it.
A controller?
I don't want to get old. Don't make me think about it.
Do I? Let's be real. the only Kingdom Hearts I haven't played, Recoded, Dream Drop Distance, and that phone one, I think, whatever it was called.
Well, you're missing like 60% of the story if you haven't, so I've heard.
I did play Dream Drop Distance. I think I looked up a summary video on it. Recoded, I also looked up a summary on for the phone one. That's a phone game. It's like a MOBA game. I'm not not all about that, but the other ones I did do.
It's one of those things where I have to commit to it, and I'm not about that life either.
Absolutely. I literally, like, I think the only reason I managed to play Kingdom Hearts is because I was in that perfect time in my life where, by God, I could actually sit down and play a console for more than, like, 2 hours.
I'm also not the best at RPGs. Like, there's so much, especially Square Enix RPGs, where there's, like, 20 different things you got to do to get the best weapon and to beat the final boss. And, oh, by the way, did you do this other thing to 100% the game and get the actual ending? No. Bye,
oh,
then.
God, yeah.
Which are any for you? I'm sufficient at most types of games. The only ones that really defeat me is super bad. Strategy, RTS, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that too. I don't like those.
My brain don't jive so well with those, but I still try to play Total War. It's not a great experience. It's so fun.
I can't do it. Can't do it at all. Everyone's like, hey, come play Civ. And I'm like, hell to the no.
Yeah.
Can't ever do that.
That's fair. I have friends who stop me at Civ, and I'm like, I'm over here trying to make like a culture-based place, and I'm just like, I just want to be Elvis. I want to be like Switzerland. Eventually, they're going to roll over me.
I don't think I realized you could play Civ multiplayer.
Really?
What?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Oh, Marcy.
Listen, this is just Marcy doesn't play video games, the podcast.
You got a lot to learn.
It really is.
Maybe I'll do a Max Payne playthrough so you can see. It's like, the thing about Max Payne that makes it so good is that it's so overtly macho that it comes off kind of campy. And
yeah,
it just makes you like, he's so emo and it's so wonderful.
My man's has bullet time. It's great.
Yeah, and that was the like first game with bullet time in it. Huh. It felt so good to use it. It was like, Rockstar did a very good job with it. That's all I have to say.
Yeah.
And
oh, it's a Rockstar game. I didn't even know
it
that.
It is, in fact.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I
was excited about L.A. Noire because of that too. It wasn't anything like Max Payne, but it had the same kind of similar overtones where like, you know, detective needs to do this thing and it's very detrimental to his blah, 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 blah. And there's a narrator and people are being real campy for no reason. It's wonderful. It's great.
Mm-hmm. Great.
I'll play Max Payne for Marcy. Hashtag Max Payne.
Mars Payne.
Max Payne.
That's me.
Okay. We are going to switch those gears and talk about Soulja Boy. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Is he at it again?
Keeps coming up.
He's at it again. News
feed, and I'm not happy about it.
he has some new bold claims this time around.
Jesus Christ, does he ever. if you were paying attention or listening to this podcast about 2 or 3 months ago, Soulja Boy was in the video game manufacturing console news because he said that he wanted to... Rather, he was selling game consoles, but they turned out to be knockoff game consoles sold on, like, you know, the Wish app and stuff like that. It was just rebranded Chinese emulators, basically. And they had tons of preloaded games on there, which were technically illegal, but he was selling them and making money off of them. But for I don't know who bought them, but I'd really love to speak to you if you have a chance. I want to know why. But in any case, more recently, he's decided to come out and say that he's developing another new console. And this time, along with coming with 800 pre-installed games, including...
That he claims they're all licensed.
Yes, that he does claim are all licensed. So it's fair game. It includes games from the PlayStation, the Game Boy, and the Sega Genesis. In addition to those 800 pre-installed games. 800. I don't even have that many installed on my computer right now. 800 games pre-installed. He's also saying that Fortnite will also be playable on this machine. Now, my stance on Fortnite aside, someone at DualShockers, who originally, I think, reported this, reached out to Epic Games to get a comment, and Epic's response was simply, no, you can't play Fortnite on a rooted or jailbroken device due to anti-cheat measures. So,
and there you go.
The ball's in your fucking court. Like, what are you gonna do? What could you possibly do?
Also, this console. I'm sorry. What was the most advanced console that it's going to have games from again?
The PlayStation 1?
Is also going to be able to run Fortnite, which apparently. Well, I mean, Fortnite is an Unreal Engine 4 game, which, yes, has been ported to phones, but the only way I could possibly imagine him making this work is if he's just running, like, some sort of Windows virtual machine.
Yeah, or something. A real top-notch OS with a good-ass graphics card.
Well, I mean, it has to be an OS that Fortnite supports, right? Unless he's running it under Wine. I don't know.
I mean, so let's be real, right? Even if it's been ported to phones, I'm pretty sure dollars to donuts, smartphones these days are probably more powerful than the original Sony PlayStation.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. Yeah. That was the other thing I was going to say.
Or a Game Boy or Sega Genesis.
I guess if it's running the Android version, does the Android version support controllers? I imagine not. I don't know this for sure.
I think he's going after the Biggie Smalls dream.
Oh, but then I guess if it's rooted or jailbroken, isn't that the thing?
Wait, what was Biggie's dream? I've forgotten.
Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis. When I was dead broke, man, I couldn't imagine this.
Oh,
yeah.
What a great, you know, that's a wonderful, wonderful thing you've done. So I think what boggles my mind the most about this is that, he notes in this video, that before suggesting, and this is a quote from NintendoLife.com, I think they ripped the story from DualShockers, but it says, before suggesting that the reason Nintendo originally approached him wasn't due to any blatant copyright infringement, but was instead to, quote, see what was going on because they, quote, want in. Now, that aside, right, let's say that is true. He still is saying that this console will come with games pre-installed from PlayStation, Sega Genesis, and the Game Boy, which is a Nintendo product. So how'd that work? They already told you to stop and you're going to do it again?
Hey, man.
I guess so.
gotta go for it, right? Go for the gold and then immediately land yourself in prison.
If it was this easy, I would have done it already. That's all I got to say. If it was this easy, I would have done it because I'm all about easy.
Yeah.
Oh, God. It makes me feel so weird.
When I was at MAGFest earlier this month.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah.
Yeah, Corey, you came with me to Frank Cifaldi's talk about the strange death of the NES.
Friend of the show.
Yeah, that was great.
Friend of the show.
Really?
He's on like episode 7. I don't remember.
Well, there we go.
He's very good.
I love Frank Cifaldi so much.
Yeah.
I was very, very happy that I actually managed to schedule time to see one of his panels. Mm-hmm. But yes, he did a panel about what was his current obsession at the moment, which was the fact that basically due to technically illegal Chinese knockoff NES consoles, there is now, or due to that being a booming industry in China during the 90s and late 80s, there is now, like, because a lot of the patents have expired, basically in the early 2000s, there was a huge renaissance of plug-and-play systems that were running, like, on newly commissioned NES ROMs running on real NES hardware. Like,
jeez.
Manufactured by companies that had figured out how to cut corners, but, like, technically, it's just an NES with a bunch of preloaded ROMs, like not even emulated. And that's what a lot of the plug and play systems of the early to mid 2000s were.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still making them.
I've actually seen the Atari ones. Like, I think those are properly licensed.
Yeah.
But... The earlier Atari ones, Atari ones from the earlier 2000s, he did show at least one that was definitely an NES. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Atari actually like commissioned people to port a bunch of old Atari games to the NES.
Oh.
It's wild. And he was showing off this one console that was like, it's this cool handheld thing, and it has like a new version of Tetris on it for the NES. Like, it's not Tetris NES, it's like a new modern, like a new version of Tetris that conforms to their modern design tenets.
Yeah, it has like the fast drop, the infinite spin,
fast drop. Yeah,
like everything that you'd expect if you picked up like Puyo Puyo Tetris or Tetris Effect or one of the modern
and
iterations.
It's got like some really snazzy looking graphics because it's made by people who actually have like design sense and not like programmers from the 80s.
They're not like programmers from the 80s just barely like starting to figure stuff out.
Right, exactly. So anyway, that's a little bit of a tangent, because at the very end somebody asked him what his take was on the Soulja Boy console, and he talked about how like, oh yeah, they discontinued all of them, huh? I have unfortunately not been able to get my hands on one. And I'm just like, well, yeah, as a video game archivist, I guess he does have kind of a duty to catalog.
That's very true. Yeah.
Catalog the Soulja Box.
These strange consoles. Yeah,
that's pretty interesting. All right, enough about Soulja Boy. I don't want to do this anymore. So instead, we are going to switch gears to a wonderful new person in the, or rather, maybe not new, but someone very cool in the gaming community. Goes by the name of H Bomber Guy, aka Harry Brewis. Brewis. Mm. So, H Bomber Guy wanted to play Donkey Kong 64 to raise money for a UK-based charity called Mermaids, an organization that offers support for transgender children, teenagers, and their families. A wonderful, wonderful, wonderful idea for a stream. Who can say why Donkey Kong 64 was chosen, except H Bomber Guy himself, but I digress. So it was.
I actually can say.
Oh, can you?
Because he did explain.
I wasn't around for it.
It plagued his childhood that he was never able to beat it, and it was one of these things that he was like, one day, one of these days, I'm going to do it, and that was why he decided he was going to 100% this very, very obtuse game.
Well, I think Donkey Kong 64 is the best game there ever is. I love that game so much. I'm making a huge statement, but still, I love Donkey Kong 64 so much, and I'm so glad that it was played for 57 hours. So that, I mean, kudos to him. He raised something like $340,000 for Mermaids, and it's all started off in spite of an Irish comedian who opposes the charity organization. I can't remember the comedian's name, doesn't matter.
You're thinking of Graham Lineham, I think.
Graham something.
Lineham? Something.
Miss Boy.
It's definitely Lineham or something. Linen. I pronounced Lineham.
Some dude.
Some dude.
Graham Liner Notes.
Graham Liner Notes. But in any case, the interesting kind of, I suppose, United States spin on this is that Congresswoman.
Yeah, you're right, she Congresswoman.
Is, yeah. I'm bad at words that mean United States people. Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez dropped into the stream and just began, I don't know, making people go nuts because she was in the stream.
Yeah.
Just having a good
time. It wasn't just her, but it was Chelsea Manning was there too.
Wow. Yeah.
And they got Chuck Tingle.
Yeah, they got Chuck Tingle.
Chuck Tingle's my hero. But it was a really amazing stream. I didn't get to watch it live. I just kind of watched it here and there sparsely. But it was really impressive, super amazing. I was happy to see AOC, as I'm most of calling her these days, drop into the stream and just kind of be herself, I guess. It was nice. It was really cool. And you definitely probably won't see that from people in our government ever again.
Yeah.
Hearing her talk about her favorite N64 games.
Oh my god, so cool.
Trying to pull up a guest list because there was like a massive amount of people.
Really?
I'm seeing things like there's Adam Conover, Adam Runs Everything, Mara Wilson, Matilda, Rebecca Heineman, Susie Green, John Romero dropped in. Jeez. I know that Grant Kirkhope was through at some point.
John Romero, creator of Doom and Wolfenstein, dropped in and said the words trans rights yeah. apropos of nothing.
There was also, I think Chelsea Manning was on there as well.
Right.
I mentioned her,
Who is the YouTuber behind, I can't remember the name of the lady behind ContraPoints. There was...
Natalie Wynn.
Yeah, there we go. There was formerly a really large like guest list, but... I can't seem to find it. There is just a lot of not only, and I'm speaking from secondhand experience too. Like I had a public Discord that was going through and detailing what was happening in the stream because I unfortunately have a day job and I can't sit and watch a stream, no matter how amazing it is like this. just a lot of not only like, you know, famous people, developers, other sorts of people. I believe there are a lot of just trans people being there, passing on knowledge, being able to discuss, especially during two moments where just he puts up a skeleton and like sleeps. There's like the skeleton crew moments, I guess.
Yeah, they definitely called it the skeleton crew.
And like Teeth Gang's a thing, and I'm into it. I'm glad for Teeth Gang.
This is so great.
Oh gosh, I also have to mention the fact that Grant Kirkhope showed up and said said trans rights, okay, in Donkey Kong's that's voice.
Incredible.
So yeah, that's now canonically DK, I think.
I guess so.
Yeah.
DK is the ally we all need.
I guess so. I don't know about that. No.
I just super blitzed. Like this moment in I think this is an actual like historical moment. This is weird.
Absolutely. This goes down I'm not trans myself, but if I can say so, I think it goes down in trans history and it goes down in gaming history.
Yeah.
It is a
convergence of those two movements and or art forms in a way that probably goes down in streaming history,
at least, absolutely.
Broadcast history. Right. I don't know. It's a lot, and it has done a lot.
I really give the
and it has touched a lot of people.
I really give the giant middle finger to anyone who was like, "Why do you have to make video games political?" Because, as I always say, all your video games are political. Every single one of them. Think of any of them. They're political. Princess Peach. She runs the country. Political.
She's a monarch.
I was just watching an interview with H Bomber Guy. It was posted up like yesterday or today, and he goes at length about how like he pretty quickly started to realize, everything's political.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, you know, you can't make a game that doesn't say anything. Like, you can extrapolate politics from anything, and so it's important to be aware of that when you're making anything, you know?
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. I salute all the people who went into that stream and had tons of fun and helped raise some money. And big super shout outs to the Mermaids charity. Really great stuff. Okie dokie, I think.
For not only doing what they do, but also for so wholeheartedly supporting the stream. And I'm pretty sure a representative from the charity, like, came on to talk for a while.
That's great.
Because I saw them come. I only tuned in like right when he beat the game and the credits were rolling, which was basically like an hour and a half of all of the less high profile guests, like, you know, the people who actually had you know, like obviously AOC and Grant Kirkhope weren't quite as able to jump back in again. But like a lot of the other people just for like an hour and a half came on one after the other to say like, you know, messages of thank you and goodbye and everything. One of the people who came on was a representative of Mermaids who it seemed had been on before. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. It was just really cool to see like everybody on the same page there, everybody agreeing that this stream was a fantastic thing. And yeah.
Rightio. Rightio. Beautiful stuff. Okay. We're going to start wrapping it up. And as always, to wrap up the show, I ask my guest to send a recommendation to the listeners. What games? Doesn't have to be video games. Could be board games, card games, patty cake, whatever. What games do you recommend other people play, including your boy Comedy Jace? So take it away, Corey.
Okay, so hey y'all, did you know about this game called Slay the Spire?
I heard about this. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so Slay the Spire, this is a game by Megacrit Games. It is a deck builder roguelike game. You have to go through a spire as one of three characters, build a deck of whatever you have, you know, sort of themed on whatever character you picked. There is the Ironclad, who is much more bruisey, defendy, direct damage boy. You have the Silent, who is a very poison-based, you know, manipulating status effects characters. And then you have the Defect, who is much more about managing indirect damage, orbs, cycling those orbs through its rotation, etc., etc. I could go probably like 5 good minutes just spouting out about it, but ooh. I would highly recommend people go pick it up. It just came out of early access on Steam. It is probably, I think, one of the most notable examples of an early access game done incredibly right. It had a long development time of about a year and a half, I think. To speak to some of its merits, I only picked it up like a month ago. Just like I was finally like, fine, I'll do it. And literally the first play session I got, let me see if I can pull up. I played it maybe about like 4 to 5 hours just in that one sitting directly after buying it. So be ready for that, I guess. And if you like deck building stuff, even if you don't like deck building, honestly, this is the first game I think that really gave me a good concept of how deck building works, and it's mm-hmm. actually started to interest me in other card games too.
Hmm. And one more time, the name of that game is
Slay what? The Spire.
Slay the Spire. Very good. Okay, Marcy, give us what you got.
Hey, have you all checked out Tetris Effect yet?
Yeah,
it's really good. It is a video game that, you know, on the surface you'd think, oh, it's another Tetris game. Hey, look, it's really pretty. It's not just that. Tetris Effect is just a pure experience. It is this audiovisual bliss. You start off with an empty Tetris board and a falling block, as you would. And immediately the difference you'll notice is that all of your movements in the game are will trigger sound effects that are very decisively locked to a 32nd note grid. Mm. You know, in time, they're basically locked to a tempo. So immediately you just start feeling compelled to do everything to the beat of, well, maybe even a non-existent beat of something that you'll create yourself. And then as you start to put down more and more blocks and clear more and more lines, actual musical elements will start to be introduced. And eventually you will actually have this incredible symphony of all sorts of different genres, depending on which board you're playing. And you'll have this song that almost feels like you kind of willed it into being through your rhythmic tetramino dropping. and line clearing.
Anytime I hear the word Tetris, I think of my mom. She loves Tetris.
Oh my God.
It's always in my head.
If you could get a PSVR on your mother.
Yeah, I was about to say, find a way to get your mom into a PSVR headset and play
Tetris Effect, because that would be amazing. She'd
freak out.
It is such a wholesome experience.
We're gonna try that.
It really is. Yeah, Tetris Effect is a game that I think, because I have a PSVR, I don't think I'm ever going to play it on a TV. Yeah. And there are lots of other games that support VR that I would not say that about, even if they do have enjoyable VR experiences. Like, this is one that, if I'm going to sit down and play Tetris Effect, I'm putting on the VR headset.
Yep. Mm-hmm. 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 Tetris Effect for the PSVR.
Named after the thing that legitimately happens if you play a lot of Tetris and then try to fall asleep.
Yep.
Yeah, I
guess. Which is exactly what they're trying to recreate.
As a person who plays a ton of Tetris, absolutely happens to me even when I play Puyo Puyo Tetris. But then again, I'm the kind of person who tries to do 40 line sprints in under a minute. Haven't succeeded, got it down to a minute 10. That's it.
Fuck. All right.
We care about Tetris in this podcast.
Yeah, apparently so. Goodness. All right.
Polygon's number one game of all time. Okay. Polygon's go ahead. Sorry. Game.
You've made a very bad joke. Okay. I'm going to quickly recommend Resident Evil Remake 2 already. I haven't played it yet, but I know it's good, so who cares? But also, based on this entire episode, I'm going to recommend the Max Payne trilogy.
Oh, yeah.
Honestly, haven't played 3. It holds up, though, from what I've seen. Good Max Payne, decent Max Payne. He's bald in 3, though. It's weird. But good games.tumblr.com. Okay. That's going to be it for the weekly cooldown. Corey, where can people find you on the internet, and what have you got to plug?
Sure. You can find me at Endless Musings on Twitter. Please don't at me for not playing Final Fantasy VII. Specifically, I'm not searching for ads on that topic. Mm-hmm. For what I will plug, I will always go out there and plug my friends over at the VoiceOver Nexus, the people who do the project Let's Read Homestuck. Also, some other projects. They do Let's Read Their Story. We've done some Hive Swap. We've done an entire Let's Read of Undertale, so on and so forth. So if you want to see a good... my very biased opinion, a good amateur production for voice acting stuff. It's volunteer work. We do it entirely for free. We do it entirely for the passion of the project. Please go check it out. YouTube.com/Voxus. VOXUS.
If you have a hard time getting through certain webcomics or games, it's also a really good way to just kind of passively consume it without having to work too hard.
And by certain webcomics or games, I mean Homestuck or Undertale.
Yeah, those are the ones.
How do I be a part of this? I want to do one. Am I good at it?
Get some bit parts. If we ever have an audition, we will announce it.
And hell yeah.
Yeah, check it out.
Shop it around.
Check it out on their Twitter, which is the VO Nexus. Is that
the VO Nexus on Twitter.com.
Yeah.
Twitter.com. Great. I'm going to practice like forever. Okay. Marcy.
Hey. You can find me at Shadolith on Twitter, Shadolith. And that's pretty much where I hang out these days, especially with Tumblr slowly sinking from relevance. I don't know if I have a lot to plug right now. I guess my roommate Paul and I are hoping to put out a small EP in February. We'll see how it goes. Mm-hmm. We got RJ Lake on it.
Ooh.
And Jamie Page.
Okay.
I don't have a lot to say about it right now, but as I mentioned earlier, I'm making a video game, and I think it's going to be pretty good. So stay tuned. I'll be back on the show if I can help it. Hopefully with more to say.
Marcy's making a game. That's awesome. All right. As always, you can find me at Kami Jace Gaming on Twitter. You can find me at Kami Jace Gaming, of course, also on Twitch. Find me there tonight playing Resident Evil 2. Claire's part. I'm playing Claire's part. We're doing it the canon way. Claire A, Leon B. Find me on Facebook. The Weekly Cooldown, rather. Find the Weekly Cooldown on Facebook. Find the Weekly Cooldown on Facebook. That's like a tongue twister. Weekly Cooldown website is wkcooldown.com. That's where you'll find all the episodes, and you'll find me starting up a blog there as well. I'll be doing reviews in my own super cool way without numbers. It'll be cool. Read them. What else? Check out the Patreon. Make sure you check out whatever Humble bundle I'm promoting this week for this episode. In the link in the description below, and let us know what how I'm doing on the podcast. Rate and review on Apple Podcast, iTunes, or wherever you listen to podcasts. That is all.
So, hey, are you the kind of person who also plays the hero story first in Sonic Adventure 2?
Canon roots. I play the canon roots first.
Lands like a thunk.
There you go.
Yeah.
Had to end it with a bad joke. All right.
Wait. Did I miss a joke? I missed a joke.
No, you didn't.
Are you sure?
There's really no joke there.
Oh, okay. Because I had a moment where I was like, wait, is this a joke?
No, maybe
Marcy's really just asking me a question.
It was a reference.
Completely derailed the ending of this podcast.
Oh, boy. I got real confused. No, it's fine. I liked it. Okay. That's all for the Weekly Cooldown. I got to go preload Resident Evil 2. We'll see you next time. Thanks, everyone.
Later, y'all.
Bye.